that we children of the king ought to be looking for Jesus' return. And I think that's something that we're slipping on that a little bit. I don't like to stand in one place. I pastor a little church in Springville. We got a room about this size right here. And I'm kind of, I got only one step, which I fall off of darn near sometimes. That keeps everybody's attention. When I get close, they want to see if I'm going to fall off. But I got a little thing here. And so, you know, I wander around a little bit and they get a little concerned sometimes. So if you don't mind, I like to be out here. When I go to preach someplace and people don't know me, I haven't been here in a while, but I go someplace to preach and I say to them, a fellow told me one time in a preaching meeting, he says, he looked at me and he says, you know, you look like a farmer in a suit. And I never forgot that. And I don't ever intend to forget it. Because, you know, sometimes we dress all up and we look real snazzy and all of a sudden we begin thinking something of ourselves. Am I right about it? Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about how we dress tonight. But I'll tell you what, a farmer in a suit, indeed I am. I'm a farmer in a suit. I'm not something special. I'm nobody real particular. But I am this. I'm a child of the king. I'm a sinner that's saved by grace. You know, you go yell a little bit because I just got done. I spent a week over there at camp meeting and I love it. I love it, man. I'm over there yelling, yay, amen, and go ahead, preacher, and all that. Because you know what? We get cold. Am I right about it? We get cold. We get cold, we get lazy, we get sloppy. I'm talking about myself now. I don't know about the rest of you. We get cold, lazy, and sloppy. And we forget what we ought to be doing. We forget that we're here to see the king. We forget that we're here to hear the word of God preached out of God's book. Am I right about it? We forget. We get a little sloppy. We come wandering in there maybe a little late or something, and we think that everything is okay, and they'll love me the way they are. Why we're, I heard us called Christians. Now, that's not a name that I hang my hat under, if that's all right with you. I hang my hat under the Baptist. I'm a Baptist, okay? You know, he was saying about going past my house and everything else, and I got to thinking, man, if the brother would have stopped in years ago, he would have saved me a long path, okay? I had a strangest path, if I can tell you about it real quick. I was brought up, you know my testimony? I was brought up Roman Catholic. Remember that joke about the a sleepwalking nun, Roman Catholic? Is this all on tape and everything going on the internet? Oh, he said it first. Anyways, but I was brought up a Catholic, and I was very busy about the Catholic business, if that's all right. Can I say it that way? I was very busy about it. I went to Catholic grade school. I went to Catholic high school. And out of there, I went into the Catholic seminary. And while I was at the Catholic seminary, I got saved. Say amen. Okay, I got saved. I come to the end of myself and doing all these things and all this stuff to try to be right about it. And God said, you ain't right, you're wrong. I got saved one day when I come to the end of it and realized I couldn't do anything and that I was dead wrong. I was a sinner and I needed Jesus Christ. And at the same time, see, because I didn't come up Baptist, okay, I come up, you know, through that other route, but I didn't know anything about the struggle people had with lordship. Giving God lordship, putting him in charge of their lives. Lordship. Because I didn't know anything. But, and when I prayed and I got saved and everything, I finished up and I said, Lord, if you would lead me, I'll follow you. You know that? I said another dumb thing too. When I was called to preach, my wife said to me, she said, how does this affect me? And I said, oh, honey, it doesn't affect you at all. I'm the one that was called to preach. What a dope, huh? What a dope. So I'm a work in progress, amen? And I pray that tonight you all are work in progress too. I mean, God called us to be holy, am I right? He called us to be holy, and we're going to work on that a little bit. I pray we can work on it a little bit. You'd open up your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. I like this verse, number 16. Now, the reason for the alarm clock is not to keep me on task. The reason for the alarm clock is like this. I want to know tonight if you're ready for when Jesus comes back. Are you ready for when Jesus comes back? Could be any moment. Am I right about it? Could be any moment. If you don't mind, when this alarm clock goes off, I'm going to show you how we can be caught like a thief in the night. Boy, this is a big platform. If I step off of this, wow, look out. Jesus could come at any moment. Are you ready? Are you thinking about it? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. We have a thing, Nehemiah. In the chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, when they brought the book out, the people all stood. Because in verse 1, it says that they asked him to bring the book out and read it. They wanted to hear it. So what I'm going to read, guess what? Be a good thing if y'all were standing. I mean, they stood all day long. Am I right about it, brother? They stood a long time. You stand for a few minutes. I'm going to read a little bit here from the Word of God. The Bible says this, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Let's pray for a minute. Our Heavenly Father, I praise you. I thank you for this day and this time. And most of all, Lord, I thank you for your word, your sacred scriptures that are in my hand right now. And Lord, I pray you'd give me a few moments to preach to these folks some things about the old paths, the way we ought to go, things that we ought to do, the way we should be looking, that we should be ready for your return. Lord, bless this time now. Use me to preach a message to them. Bring them a great blessing. Draw them closer to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to just say a few things to you. We get started here. I'm going to preach about the old path. I love to tell the old story. Showed up right there tonight. I thought, that's good. I must have the right message. I was a little worried, okay? Because brother, you had that right. I don't know how you figured that out by driving by. I'm a little on the conservative side, okay? I don't like new and improved. You know why? As soon as I get something new and improved, I assume that what I had before was old and lousy. And I just wouldn't describe anything that way, okay? I'm not interested in new. I also like to listen to the old preachers. And the old preachers will tell you if it's new, it's not true. And this book, I don't like changes. Lord, I had to deal with them for years. I'm so thankful to be away from that nonsense. Good golly. I want to say this to you. Be ready when Jesus returns. Is it all right if we do this? You're not going to be offended? If this rings, I just want you to think, ooh, what if that was it? Am I ready? See, I work with it this way, too. This is an open altar call area, okay? And if you come up here, I promise I won't trip over you. I'll stay out of the way. But it's open altar. If you're not ready, how many people are saved in here tonight? Put your hand up. Do I have everybody? Close. Yeah, close. Real close. That's good. So I'm preaching to the choir. That's good. I'm going to say something, though, to you. I might as well start right off the bat here and tell you this, too. I don't believe in this easy believism stuff. I don't believe in this 1, 2, 3, pray with me, okay? Now, I'm not saying that God can't do that, like that, save somebody. Am I right about it? He can do it. But you know what happens? We do the 1, 2, 3, pray with me. We're busy about getting some numbers and all this kind of stuff, and we get these fake and false salvations. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, it felt right at the moment. We get the emotional salvations, okay? And then what happens is when that devil comes along and tries to steal, okay, remember the different types of soil and the seed goes out, and that one gets plucked away right away, and all of a sudden we got problems, okay? In our little church over there in Springville, we now have 1, 2, 3 people who are saved, but they thought they were saved a long time ago. One young lady, I knew what her parents had to say about it, but she didn't know. They had spoke to me about, oh yeah, she was saved as a young lady in her Sunday school class years ago, okay? And when I said something to her like that about it, I was there at a meeting with her, she said, what? No, I wasn't. And her parents, oh yes, you were. See, as good God-loving parents, that's what we want, isn't it? We want those children to be saved, okay? Second one happened just a few months ago, okay? Young fella, Sunday school class. Here's what happened, just what I just did now. Is everybody here in class saved? And everybody put their hand up except one fella. How do you suppose he felt? I need to get my hand up. But he didn't put his hand up because he wasn't going to be a liar. So the teacher said to him, honey, aren't you saved? No. Have you ever prayed? No. Would you like to? Yep. You know what he did? Wait a minute. She said, wait a minute. No. You pray out loud. you could pray out loud. We're all here. This is a good thing. So he prayed, and then the announcement was made, so-and-so is saved. Everybody was happy. But we didn't see any fruit. We didn't see any change. When I was saved, I changed. I changed a lot. Okay? And I'm still changing, say amen. Because I'm still learning and I'm still growing. There was a change. It was only a couple months ago, all of a sudden this fellow was in tears, listening to some preaching on a Sunday morning, was in tears in the back, and I'm up here preaching. I'm wondering, what is going on over there? And amen, praise God, this fellow was getting saved, amen. All right, God was convicting him. Y'all pretty quiet. Was convicted, and this guy got saved, and he come up to the altar. Okay? Wasn't just a week ago at camp meeting, my daughter got saved because she made a profession as a youngster when mom and dad went and finally got baptized and we held out a long time ago. Then she decided to come along. You know why? Because mom and dad did it. It's a good thing. And this mom and dad stuff and all of that. And listen, if you're trying to bring up good children, what do you suppose they're going to do when you say, honey, don't you want to be saved? What are they going to say? Yeah, I would. Listen, I preach about heaven and hell. Do you know that hell is real? Do you know in Luke chapter 16, when Jesus tells of Lazarus and the beggar, and or the rich man and Lazarus, do you know that that is a real story? It is not a parable. It is not something he's making up. It is a real story. Do you know that the word here in torment is in there four times? Four times I am in this place of torment, torment, torment. Okay? And we listen and we got people all around us that say, oh, that's a good place. I like that. That's a good place. Oh, I'm going there with all my friends. Am I right? I'm going there with my buddy. Oh, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party. Can I say, this is all lies of the devil. Lies of the devil. The same thing with all these other good things that we might say. This is all lies of the devil, and we're wasting our time with it. Can I say this to you tonight? That as we're looking at these things, holiness is at stake. Holiness. I used to think that if we grab this Bible, read about it, read the stuff it says, memorize some of that stuff, and go and begin practicing and doing it and being obedient, we would change. And that's true, isn't it? We'd change. And we'd be obedient to the Bible. Boy, that sounded pretty good. But you know what? As I get a little older and get to paying attention to more things, you know what the whole issue is about? It's not about me being obedient. You know what that is? That's a legalist. But holiness comes from your heart. I want it. I want God. I want to be holy. It's not good enough that I could look like it. He drove by and we looked. He said, what'd you say we look like? Conservative. There was another word in there too, which I wish he would have used the word peculiar, because the Bible says that we're a peculiar people. Brother, I'm trying to live up to my end of that, okay? We're a peculiar people. Can I say that that is exactly what you're supposed to do? People are supposed to see something in you. Look, why would people come to your church? Why would people come? Why would people want to be saved and abandon the world and sin if when they turn around, they look at you, all they see is the same thing? Why would you come if there's nothing different? Hey, listen, everybody can go around and talk to their friends and newspapers, the all kinds of stuff, and you get all this advice and everything else from the world. None of it's the truth. None of it's going to work. You can get the child-raising books, okay, and after a few years, they throw those away. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. There is a book right here, the Bible, that'll tell you how to raise those children. There is a book. There is a way. It is the truth. It's not going to change. Even in the end of times, heaven and earth passes away. My words will never pass away. When you stand before God in judgment, you will stand in front of this book. This is God's way. Can I say to you that God is unchanging? He's not going to change. His word isn't going to change. He cannot tell a lie. There is not an oops in the book. But we have to pick it. We have to want it. You know, we talk about, we preach about a hunger and a thirst for God's word. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. But you know what? If it's not in there, can you fake being hungry? I mean, on Thanksgiving, when you got to go to the in-law's house and then the other in-law's house, and all this, how many can you eat? I mean, you give it a good run. Am I right about it? If it's good stuff, you give it a good run. But after a while, you got to say, no, I'm really not hungry. And sometimes we got to say the same thing about the Word of God. Why isn't the church house full? People ain't hungry. They're not hungry. They're malnourished and they don't know it. Am I right, Bob? They're malnourished and they don't know it. I'm not such a big pusher on obedience. I'm pushing holiness. And I'm saying, if you look in our churches, if you look in our homes, if you look in our hearts, holiness. Holiness. And man, there's a topic. I'm not a smart enough and a learned enough man to preach holiness. Your pastor, Pastor Cole, he's a good man. He's a smart man. He's a Bible studier. He's got it in his heart and all. He could preach you holiness better than I can. But if I could open the door to it for you and say, holiness is what we're missing. That desire to be holy is what we're lacking so many times. Anybody can be taught to obey a bunch of rules. I got this big old dog. Have you ever been to my house? I got this big old dog. He's about this tall, and he's a yellow lab or something, and he's 126 pounds, okay? And somebody gave him to us because they couldn't do anything with him. He didn't even know his name when we got him, okay? He had this chain thing on his neck, and he had this zapper thing. Maybe he had stereo zappers or something on. Okay, so he'd stay in the yard, and I encountered him one day when I was several houses down the street doing some yard work, helping some church folk with some yard work. And all of a sudden, this dog appears in the yard. Okay, and the lady comes down and says, oh, this is my dog, this is my dog, and all this stuff. She said, I'm looking for a good home for him. And the dog made a mistake because he was all wound up and everything. When he calmed down, he came over here. Oh, look at there. Now, see, what if I never got done preaching on holiness? What if Jesus came back and we were all out of here? Were you ready? See, the altar's open. Were you ready? See, you only get so long to think about it. Were you ready? Let me keep going. We do have some time yet. God's gracious to us. Holiness at stake. God calls for his people to be holy. There's no power of God on your life. There'll be no revival in your lives without holiness. Okay? Now, I'm a big one for the power of God. Okay? And I like to get wound up a lot of times about the power of God, because God is still a mighty and a powerful God. He is unchanging. We don't understand this stuff when we get to thinking about God. Did he not, when they were locked in against the wilderness and the Red Sea, did he not say, why do the people holler unto me? Tell the people to go forward. Hey, well, what am I supposed to do about it? Hey, what's that thing in your hand? Stick that rod out there. Let's go forward. Let's do something. Am I right about it? Power of God in our lives. Well, we need this and we need that. Well, sure. Hey, we don't have anything to eat. Well, get out there in the morning, go pick some up. And there it is. He fed them all. Well, now we're out in the desert, a bunch of us, and we don't have anything. And, look at all these people and how many days wages before we could buy these people food. And, what do you have? Well, we don't have nothing. We don't have any. Here's the problem. It was a problem then. It's a problem now. We got to blind this problem. The power of God is standing right there next to you and you don't see it. The power of God is right here in this book. You don't pick it up and read it. The power of God is right here. It's available for you. You want God's power and you want to pray and get answered prayers? You got to call on him. He says, call on me. I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great things we haven't even figured out yet. God is right there ready for us. We got to call out to him. Do you have a hunger and a thirst? How about the holiness? Are you interested in being a holy people? You know what holy is? Can I give you a short definition? Separated for God's use. Would that work? Separated for God's use. Would that work for you? Don't you want to be separated for God's use? I come through some of the things that I've come through in my life and in my testimony. I'm telling you, I can really see the value in separation. I guess a lot of people struggle with that. But I'll tell you what, if you open up your book right there in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Separated. Light in the darkness, separated them. Land in the water, separated them. Right in the beginning. Come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. God still speaks. God still speaks. There's a heaven to be gained and hell to shun, the one song says. So I got this little close to my sputtering in it. You want me to? Okay. There's a heaven to be gained. When your preacher comes out here, when I come out to preach each time, each opportunity I get to preach, there's a heaven for people to gain. It's a place to get a hold. It is real. Okay? As God is real, heaven is real. You have a home. You have a place that is yours, that is set. There's nothing going to happen to it. It's all set. Just like you. When you're saved, you're saved. Once saved, always saved and sealed. And nothing's going to happen to it. You know why? Because it's not in our hands. It's in God's hands. You put that salvation in my hands, and I promise you I could mess it up. Am I right? Okay? We can mess that up, but it's in God's hands. I want to talk about the old story just a little bit. I want to talk about the old past. This passage begins in verse 16. It says, thus said the Lord. Can I say to you that God is still speaking today? God is still speaking to us. He is still trying to get to us. And if I have to yell a little bit, you know, sometimes it's because people ain't listening, am I right? It's not that God isn't speaking. It's that we're not listening. You know, it says over there in Isaiah 59, it says that, In verse 2, it says that your iniquities have separated you from your God. It's not that he isn't speaking. It's that we're not listening. Okay? I'm not going to church tonight. You know the ball game is on? So you tell him you're not going, and then you expect him when you need something. Lord, where are you when my car is sliding? Hey, it's going to be winter sooner or later here. Okay? It's going to be, we're going to be slipping and sliding. Oh, God, help me out. This road is slippery. I'm sorry, I'm watching the game. Doesn't happen, does it? Praise God that God doesn't look away from us. But we're too busy with everything else to come to the house of the Lord. We're too busy with everything. You won't come on. I'm liable to. It says, thus said the Lord. God is still speaking. And God should have the authority of your life. Thus said the Lord, King of Kings, your King. I want to say this. Okay. Corinthians tells us that we are ambassadors. I love that. I'm an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? He is the highest ranking official in a foreign land. Now, I'm his ambassador. I am his highest ranking official. Don't first miss this part, in a foreign land. I like the United States of America, but it is not my home. It is not my home. I have a home in heaven. I am an ambassador. I have a message for this world. I am to be about as an ambassador. I am to be busy with my Lord's work, which is tell people about me, is what he says. Tell them. He called me to preach. I used to sit back over here in this corner over here. Okay, whether it was this church or any other church, I'd sit back over there in the corner. So y'all are in a good spot right there. Okay, I'd sit over there. And he finally said to me, get up and go say something. And I argued with him. Okay, I had my King James Bible in my hand. He said, look down there in your hand, Moses. What's that in your hand? King James Bible. Get up. You don't have to write the messages. You don't have to be a fancy deliverer or anything else. You can be a farmer in a suit, a sinner saved by grace, and go up there and tell them what my book says, and we'll do fine together. You just remember that part that you said to me? If you lead, I'll follow. Yep. It's time to get going. Can I say to some of you, maybe it's time to get going? Okay? You're an ambassador. Okay? Do I look like an ambassador? Nobody wants it. Look at that. Dead silence. This fellow here, he looks like he's all sharp, dressed all the time, everything. Okay. Listen, God said, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador, amen. I'm an ambassador. Okay. And I have a message and I have his business to be about. Okay. And I dress up because I used to walk around like a slob. You can say amen to that. I can take it. Okay. I used to walk around like a slob. Look, I was lazy, sloppy. You know what I wore to church? I used to try to wear jeans, but that wasn't allowed. I'd wear them black jeans, them cheater pants. You know what I'm talking about? The black jeans. And then my boys do this. Now look, let me caution you, okay? Parents, those of you that are going to be parents, okay, what you're going to do, they're going to follow. No question about it. Plaid shirt, black jeans. What do you suppose my boys wear to church? No, I don't let them wear that. But, you know, dang if they find them dress shirts that are plaid. And now I'll say to them, you know, you got to change your uniform. Okay. Put on a shirt. I keep thinking that's one of my tie things. Well, I assume they're going to get tangled up. You'll never get me out of here. Okay. But what we allow is what our children are going to do. They're going to do it. They're going to be like it. Everything else. Okay. I want to keep going because I got to get to the end of this verse here. And just in case this is a real time, I'll just kick that out of the way. God is still speaking. I want you to understand that. There's still a right and a wrong. There's still a heaven and a hell. Okay, as much as we have that good home in heaven, there is also hell for those who say, no, I don't want no part of that. Okay, we all meet those kind of people when we're busy about our ambassador business. No, I don't want no part of that. No, don't start that stuff with me. You know what? You just work on those folks just a little bit. And when they're having difficulties and you're still sailing along, all of a sudden they're going to look and they're going to say, there's something different. There's something different. I'm over here. My boat is sinking. Why is he still floating along? There's something different. So I'm not worried about the rough sea. I learned some lessons. I just read the book, man. It's not that difficult. Say amen. It's not that difficult. Look, I just want to tell you about the old past. I remember my parents were older, okay? If my parents were alive right now, they'd be somewhere around in their 90s, okay, and sort of thing. And what happened in my home is that somewhere along the line, a generation got skipped, okay? So even though I'm only 54 right now, I was brought up by older parents. Older parents that knew a moral America. Okay, I'm just saying 90 years ago, things were different. I'm not saying they were perfect. I'm saying they were different, right? There was none of this bikini business, okay? There was none of all this other nonsense that's going on now. All these, you know, I'm talking about laws and regulations changing. I'm not politically correct, so I'm kind of stuck here. I don't know how to say this just right. Because in a little church in Springville, we don't have no internet and cameras and microphones and all that stuff. Man, you just go over there and yell out what God says. You know, I mean, you can speak in English over there in our church. But, all this stuff that's messing us up right now. And we're listening to everybody turn and twist everything around so as it fits. If you read your Bible, doesn't that sound like the book of Judges? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, the bigger problem with that is that makes you all idolaters because you kick God off the throne, you put yourself up there. Well, it seems right to me. People do that in churches. That doesn't seem right. I don't like that. I don't like the way he preaches. I don't know why he says that. Well, if I say something that's against the book, then y'all jump up and stone me or something, amen? I don't know if we got any stones here, but find something to throw. Throw your shoes at me or something. Keep me in the book. I just want to talk about the old paths. I remember when on Sundays was the Lord's Day and the stores would be closed. Y'all couldn't go out and get a pizza on Sunday. You know what happens with that? You say, well, preacher, I'm not working. No, you ain't working, but you sure are causing those people to work. Is that all right? Can I preach that here? Okay. Yeah, you sure are causing those people to work. I know a fellow sits home in his chair, doesn't do anything. He doesn't even want to start his car and go down the street. I'm just thinking we can get a little carried away with these things because he won't come to the house of God either. Okay. But he very carefully, he doesn't work or doesn't cause anybody else to work. I'm wondering if he eats anything. Maybe he goes back to those how many steps he can take, you know, to get some food or whatever. I don't know. He needs to get to the Lord a little bit and get in the house of God. But I remember things were closed on Sundays. I remember, and people tell me, you can't possibly remember that. I remember when gasoline was 28 cents a gallon. Yeah, you should all say, what? Okay, 28 cents a gallon. Places were closed. When people went to church, they dressed up. I was a little fellow, and I went to church, and by golly, I had to be dressed up. You know when I changed to the black jeans and the plaid shirt? When I got old, you know when it is? It's when you get a driver's license. I'm watching that in my house. They get a driver's license on their own, all of a sudden they show up to me. What are you doing now? It's all I had. Oh, yeah, how did that happen? Where'd that other stuff go? Okay, but somewhere along the line, we got to get out there on our own. Well, this is the way I dress. This is the way I dress. If the Bible says I'm an ambassador, I need to look like an ambassador. If I look like everybody else, you know all these young individuals, these young kids that are all trying to be individuals, dressing up like everybody else? I can hardly say that, but you know what I'm talking about? So we want to look like everybody else, but I'm an individual. I've been accused of being a people watcher, but I just want to talk about the old past. It says, stand in the ways. Go stand in the ways and see and ask for the old past. That rings a bell. Remember what Psalm 1 says? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't keep company. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. You see, right there where he walks, where he stands, and all of a sudden he finds he's got himself a seat. Right there, all of a sudden you fit right in. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I could preach that all day long. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived. When Jesus is telling us about his return, how many times does he say to us, let no man deceive you? Be not deceived. We're going to get fooled. You know why? Because we got cold, lazy, and sloppy. Well, this is okay. They'll love me the way I am. Yeah. Brother Ty was downstairs working all day. He come up for the church service. What are we going to say? You can't come in here like that. Oh, yes, you can. You know why? Because he wants to be here. He wants to be here. He didn't have time to be anywhere else. He didn't have the opportunity to do something different. But he wants to be here. Holiness rather than obedience. You see what I'm saying about it? Is that all right, Brother Ty? All right, everybody knows he's been down there working. Okay. Holiness. I want it. You know, the things that we want, we run out and try to get a hold of nowadays, don't we? We got to be real busy about it. I mean, we'll knock people down to get something if we want it. But how about holiness? How about being ready when Jesus comes back, whatever time that is? Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. I want to know about the old ways. I don't want anything new. I've had some things new. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them. Because you find out that they're not true. They don't stay the same. They're not always there when you want it. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths. Remember personal responsibility? Who's responsible for the way you came in here today? I'm responsible for me. I went around looking because I've encountered these doors before when they were closed. And maybe I'm sticking my nose in where it doesn't belong, and maybe I'm helping you out a little bit. Okay? But on the back of all these doors, it says, thank you for not chewing gum. I appreciate Mr. Moore. He said to me, are you one of them dry preachers? I thought we were talking about taking a drink or something, you know. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, some fellas, they do. They got to have a sip of water, or a guy could get coughing up here, okay? Who's doing the talking and who's doing the listening? If I don't need a drink of water, you suppose you all would be all right? I mean, I only got, you know, whatever time is left. I don't know. I'll go up and look at the clock in a minute. But if I can make it, y'all suppose you could make it? Now I understand somebody's taking a medicine or got the sickness thing or something, okay? We had some little babies all snotted up over there this last weekend here, and my kids are kind of thing going on and everything. All right, but we'll make it. Am I right about it? We can make it for, I don't know, 45 minutes. Can we make it? Okay, we don't have to have the Tim Hortons cups. We don't have to have the soda pop and the water bottles and all this kind of junk. Hey, leave it in the car. You'll be all right, amen. You'll be all right. Hey, God can't take care of me for 45 minutes. How am I ever going to survive fasting? I'll never make it. I believe God can take care of us. I believe he can take care of us real well. I've had days, and different things. My knee bothers me sometimes. I've had days I couldn't walk. I had this big fellow to baptize once, and I mean, on a Thursday, my boys carried me to church. They carried me. I had to baptize them on Sunday. We prayed earnestly Thursday night. Prayed earnestly. Let the pastor be able to baptize. Pastor, you want to change the baptism? No. Only thing I want to change is don't tell the big fella I can't walk. Because he's going to get nervous and Satan is going to move him out of there. You understand what I'm saying? You got to watch for that rascal, Satan. He keeps sneaking up all over the place. Okay? He keeps sneaking in your home. And listen, if you're an ambassador, you live in an embassy. Your home is your business. Okay? Embassies are protected with guards and everything and walls and big doors. Okay? And you got to watch out now because Satan can get past all that stuff. He's got himself the satellite, the cable, the internet, all that trash. Okay? And your TV sets. Okay? Praise the Lord. I got rid of my TV set back in the 90s somewhere. I didn't know any better. I just thought this thing is annoying. And I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you the honest truth. I mean, can I be honest here in this church? Nobody wants to answer that one either. Wow. Listen, if I stay up here and ask the questions and give you all some space, but look, you know what? I would come home from work, shush everybody, plop myself down in front of the TV, want my dinner so as I could see my program. Now, is that the picture of a fellow that needs to get rid of a TV set? And that was years ago. I mean, there were certain things that could not be on TV years ago. There were certain things that could not be said on TV years ago. Am I right about it? There were certain things that salespeople did not say to you when you went to buy a car. I was embarrassed the last time I sat down with a salesperson with my wife with the language coming out of the salesman. What is with that? I have to listen to that all day long at work. It is a rare, you know what I'm talking about. It is a rare exception when you get to a job site, a construction site somewhere, and somebody is talking with a sensible civil tongue and a sensible mentality. What is up with that? And it's the weirdest thing, because if you just think about that for a minute, if on the job site, the contractor that's doing the work is all upset, hollering and yelling, this ain't right, that ain't right, what message are you sending to your customer? This ain't right, that ain't right, this is going to be a problem, everything else, okay? I pour concrete. I drive a cement mixer, okay? I do that during the summer, take care of myself. Church takes care of me in the winter, okay? We're a little church, and I do that. And can you imagine people are expecting this concrete to be good for quite some time, am I right about it? And the contractor's all mad, upset, hollering and everything when you're pouring the concrete? I mean, what are people thinking? That's coming up under rest for your souls. I got to scoot down there, I think, pretty quick. Yeah, I better get moving. Okay, it says, go and stand and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? I want to say this to you yet tonight. There is a good way. Okay, there is a good way. There is a good path. All this trouble we got with the economy and all this other business, okay, there is a way through and around all that stuff right here in this book. Can I say to you that there is no shortage in heaven of anything? Okay, God has everything under control. There is no need for the sun because the sun will be the sun. Amen? Okay? We have homes. We have mansions. We have everything is all set. We are in the presence of our Savior. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. All this kind of, isn't that great? Isn't that, I mean, do you think about that once in a while? If we were a little more heavenly minded, we wouldn't be so earthly minded. Okay, we'd be thinking about our home in heaven. We wouldn't be worrying about everything over here. Jesus is coming back any day. What are you worried about? I tell you what you're worried about. If you're not saved, you're worrying. And you ought to be, because your place is in hell, which is a place of torment. If you're saved, you ought not to be worrying about everything that's going on. There is a good way, and walk therein. Put yourselves there. Get in church and stay in church. Stay under your preacher, Pastor Cole. Listen to what he's trying to tell you from the Word of God and do it. Start with obedience. And then somewhere along the line, praise God, you'll get a hunger and a thirst for holiness. You'll have a desire for the power of God on your life. Amen. Say amen right there. You want the power of God on your life? Call unto me, he said. Call unto me and I'll show you these things. I'll give them, I'll bring things you haven't even thought of yet, Kevin. And you'll find rest for your souls. I told you I went to camp meeting. I love camp meeting. I get all wound up and carry on everything else. Okay, but you know what I discovered? We're having more and more trouble finding grown-ups and children that can rest. It's like this. Sit down. I don't recall seeing this before. Kids that got to have little cars to ride around on the arms of the chairs during camp meeting. Okay, it's what the parents are going to allow. Okay, I have young folks in the church that are trying to learn some parenting things. Okay, and if I can draw a little quick picture, okay, I used to drive a team of horses. Okay, now everybody worries about the motorcycles on the road and the everything else when you're driving a team of horses, and rightly so. Okay, but look, as soon as I see a motorcycle, if I tense up and I change my hold on them horses just a little bit, guess what happens? They know. And they're nervous. What's the matter? What's going on? Something changed. Can I say this to your parents? If you've got kids and you're worried about, why do my kids sit still? Why can't they calm down? Why do they have to bring them out of the nursery and bring them to me because they're raising, you know what, over there? And why do they come up from downstairs because they won't behave? Look it. Teach them and allow them to settle down and rest. Okay, and I'm not talking about taking a nap. You can only put them to sleep so many times. I'm talking about in your home, you have to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to rest in that power of God that I was telling you about. You can rest there because God has it handled. Do you hear me? God has everything taken, and just nothing is going to happen. He's going to say, oh, look at that. Oh, what a surprise. He's got it handled. Would you relax? Would you live by faith and not by sight? Oh, did you see what this looks like? I've got 14 acres of hay mowed down. They're calling for rain. Guess what? Big deal. It works like this. I've lost a lot of hay to rain on Monday that I would not bale on Sunday. I've lost a lot of hay. At the same time, the year I lost the most, my barn was so full I had to give some hay away because later in the year, I got hay. Are you going to worry about it and get all out of shape? And then when you're all worked up, oh, I got 14 acres, it's going to be ruined. And my kids come and say, Daddy, would you show me something? What? What do you want? Will you leave me alone? Can't you see I'm what? I'm worried about rain because God doesn't know it. He can't handle it. How do you finish that sentence? How do you treat them like that? People say to me, how do your kids work the way they do? I said, it goes like this. I start when they're little, and when they want to do something, I don't tell them no. I want to sweep the floor. I want to sweep the floor. You know what happens when they sweep the floor? Mrs. Friedman sweeps it again after they're taking their nap. You know why? Because if I say, no, you can't sweep the floor. You're not going to get all the corners. Okay, what did I just tell them? No, you can't sweep the floor. Now, I mean, think about this just for a minute. It's not difficult. How many times do you suppose a kid is going to ask if he can sweep the floor? I mean, that might have been your only shot, right? You got to start when they're little. Can I split some wood, Daddy? Well, here comes a new axe handle. Yeah, and that's all right because when the boys get older, when they break the handles, they buy new ones and they put them in there. You got to go through some axe handles. I got this little saying. If you want to make a cake, you got to break a couple eggs. Am I right about it? You're not going to have much of a cake without, hey, something's got, okay, it's got to happen. They're going to break some handles, but they're going to learn something. There is a good way, and there is a way to find rest. Calm down and relax. Well, my retirement is all gone and everything. So is mine. And big deal, I wasn't paying any attention to it anyway. I lost it just as easy as a lot of people that was paying all kinds of attention to it. And I don't really care. Jesus is coming back. I'm going home. Why, aren't you afraid you're going to lose your home? No, can't lose it. Can't even mess it up. You find rest for your souls. Go the good way. Walk there. Settle yourselves. Get set. Get into church. Come and listen to your preacher preach out of the Word of God. I know he doesn't go anywhere else. He goes to the Word of God. Listen to him. ask him questions. How do I do that? Why doesn't that work for me? I'll tell you why. I just have to, okay, jump over here not Ezekiel. Go to Isaiah. Real fast. How much? You want me to quit? I can quit. A couple minutes. I'm going to quit now? Isaiah 58. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Okay, this verse says over here, I'll set a watchman over you. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Over here it says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Look over to chapter 29, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it can't save, neither is ear heavy that he can't hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Okay, here's the situation, what we have nowadays. Our sins have separated us from God. We still have a holy, almighty, and powerful God that can do the same things now as he did before. Turn armies against armies. They wipe themselves out. Just go out there and sing my praises, okay? And let me take care of it. You go out there and sing my praises, and I'll take care of it. They destroyed themselves. You go out there and see what's going on with the people. What do you mean they're all dead? They're all dead, okay? What do you mean we can't go because the Red Sea has us blocked in and those Egyptians are behind us? Go ahead and see. What do you mean walk across there? That doesn't look like a good idea. Walk across there on dry ground. And horses and chariots follow. And he took the wheels out from under them, didn't he? And they sunk. Those Egyptians you'll see no more. God is still able to do that. Do you have that picture now tonight? God is still able. What we need is obedience is okay. Obedience to the word of God keeps us from being rebels, keeps us from being backslidden, keeps us from being unfaithful, ungodly people. Obedience is okay. But you know what drives obedience and what God is looking for? People that are what? Holy. Be holy for I'm holy, he said. He called us to be holy. I'm working on peculiar. I think I'm getting peculiar pretty good. I'm turning my focus. Holy. Holy. God wants a holy people. When he comes back, will he find faith? Will he find people that have settled down and are living by faith? Just living by faith. God said so. God said it'll be all right. He said, you stand. Having done all else, do what? Stand. Okay. Do what you're supposed to do. Take a stand. Have some convictions. But they said, we'll not hearken. I want to say something to you as we finish up and you go out in the world. I want to say this to you. I want to make this as clear as I can. Who cares what they say? You understand what I'm saying? Who cares what the world has to say? Who cares? You can't do that. You can't live that way. Who cares what they say? You know who they're speaking for? They're speaking for their king. Am I right? They're speaking for Satan. They're telling you the lies of Satan. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You can't take off early from work to go preaching. You can't take a week off of work to go to tent meeting. Yes, I can. Yes, I can, because the God I serve is able. And I'm not careful to answer thee, O King, because I know who you're speaking for. And I speak for my King. I'm an ambassador. I'm his highest ranking official in a foreign country. And I speak for him. I'm about his business as best I can. And we're all different. We're all different. Some of us are peculiar, but we're all different. We got some business to be about. Cares what they say, these people over here. The only thing I can tell you is that it hasn't changed. They are still saying the same things. We're not listening to that. We're not listening to that kind of preaching. Dress up for church, throw away the TV and the VCR. I learned something from an old preacher at camp meeting, VCR and the TV and the VCR. VCR stands for very closely related. I didn't know that, but I learned that from an old preacher, so I'm hanging on to it. It's a good nugget. I'm not going to listen to that kind of preaching. They said they don't want to walk that way. And you got it wrong. I just wanted to talk to you about the old paths a little bit tonight. And we started right out singing, I love to tell the old story. I thought, amen, I got the right message. I'm a little afraid to preach it because sometimes we do. We all get cold and we get sloppy, don't we? We get a little lazy. Okay? I'm going to give you an invitation. It's time to come. Come to the altar. I got a little cold. I got a little sloppy. It's time to come. I don't know how y'all do invitations. You want to come up and play a little something or however you do it? Okay? Some people are waiting for the cue. I don't know if you need to stand or whatever you need. But why don't you come? Why don't you come? I do all that stuff. That's obedience. God is looking for holy people. There'll be no power of God on your life without holiness. Well, I just need a little pick-me-up. I need a little revival. There'll be no revival without holiness. Well, this country needs a revival. There'll be no revival without holiness. There'll be no revival without God. Am I right about it? There'll be no revival in this country if it doesn't start in the churches. Not going to be a revival. Well, how do you get all fired up? I got a revival. I got it going all the time. I'm busy about it. I've learned my lessons. I've learned some things along the way. I haven't gone that far. I've only been pastoring for 6 years, and your preacher here has been 27-something, 28, 29. Listen, holiness. Holiness. Ask him about it. He'll tell you. He has his prayer time in the morning. Don't disrupt me. How many of you got prayer time in the morning? How many of you read your Bible first thing in the morning? I hear some people tell me, oh man, I'm up in 10 minutes, I'm out of the house like that. I thought to myself, Lordy, there's no time. We're not starting with the fuel. We wonder why we get so easily defeated. You come, God is looking for holiness. Isaiah 58. You come, this invitation, I'm just going to read you some more what the Bible says. Here's what it says when you do these things. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou takest away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth of the finger the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, to satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Here comes 12. I love verse 12. And they that shall be of these shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. God will have something. And you'll be a tool for God to work. He has a message to get out to this messed up world. He needs folks that are hungry for holiness to get that message out. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end, a home in heaven. Holiness. Holiness. Pastor Seth.